21. It is the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism. Joining this morning is Representative Thompson, Representative Munoz, myself, Bob Aaron, Representative Keller, and Representative Neil Foster came in, and he's coming back. So, okay, we do have a quorum. As one of our guests in the audience can attest, it's good to turn off your cell phones. And today we have House Bill 160, Visitor Industry Investment Fund / Marketing. And for the committee members, there is a blank CS in front of you that we've had legislative draft up for our consideration. So Chair will entertain a motion to adopt the CS for the purpose of discussion. Representative Munoz.
Chair Herron, I'd like to move adoption of the CS for House Bill 160 as a working document.
And that would be version I. Is there any objections? Seeing none, we have the version in front of us so we can start to discuss it. And we've asked Representative Munoz's A-team to come and explain the changes and for our review. Please, Mr. Harvey, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Terry Harvey, staff to Representative Munoz. Mr. Chairman, if you would allow a very, very brief preface to the bill itself. Earlier in the session, the legislature heard from the visitor industry in a series of overviews, I believe this committee as well as some others. We heard a lot of compelling economic statistics verifying the impacts, the positive economic impacts that reach every corner of the state. Tourism-related spending in Alaska is currently calculated at around $3.4 billion a year. But in spite of these positive numbers, the industry has struggled of late, not just in Alaska, but nationwide. Today's discussion is not so much why there's been a downturn, but what we can do to turn that around. We address through this legislation what has been identified by our visitor industry as the top priority for them, and that is establishing the Visitor Industry Investment Fund. HB 160 is about a sustainable marketing approach for Alaska. It offers much-needed stability for the future as opposed to a plan that has varied somewhat over the years. This is a top priority of our current administration. And most importantly, this is an opportunity at a very critical time to put forth a sustainable reinvestment plan for the visitor industry. HB 160, we believe, will accomplish that. And with that, I could speak to the bill, if you would prefer, before we get to some other invited guests and testimony. At your preference, Mr. Chair.
See, none from the committee members, maybe one from myself. But before I ask that question, just for everyone's information, is the intent not to move it from committee today. We plan to do that hopefully in the next meeting after we receive more input from around the state and some other ideas that other legislators have in mind. We do have several people signed up to testify. Looks like five in the room, and 1, 2, 3, at least three people online. That's all I see so far. And then there is written documentation in your files. But Mr. Harvey, is this morning we had a joint meeting with CNRA, and the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development brought up the issue of marketing as well. And then what about how do you see this legislation addressing the fact that it's great that we're going to do tourism, we're going to do a fish marketing in this legislation? What about the, maybe more importantly, the overarching theme of marketing Alaska for national security, for responsible resource development? Briefly, just your concept, your ideas on that.
Well, Alaska is in a very unique position globally, so all of those issues that you bring up are compelling and very, very important to Alaska as a whole. This committee in particular addresses a lot of issues, security, economic development, etc. But in this particular legislation, we attempt to focus on one of our primary industries in the state, the visitor industry. And in similar to the ASME approach, we develop a long-range marketing plan that will lift up our industry, promote Alaska globally, and allow us to compete in a global market around the world.
Okay, thank you. And I guess for the committee members and for anyone that's listening is that I think it's important that we take not only those important aspects of this proposed legislation, but we should think about Alaska as a whole as well, and maybe we can incorporate this into it. Before we move on to take testimony, and I'm going to ask the commissioner to come up first, is that we do have Joanna Bales from the Department of Revenue that's available for questions on anything that's technical. And also Terry Bannister, our drafter, is available. So with that, unless there's other questions for Mr. Harvey, we'll ask. Oh, Representative Munoz.
Thank you. Terry, could you speak to the issue, the timing issue, in that the industry contribution, the legislation that affects industry contribution, rather the statute changes this year, and could you address that issue and how this legislation helps?
Currently, the industry is operating under a percentage match with the state for marketing purposes. That percentage is roughly a 70%, 30%, 30% from the industry, 70% from the state of Alaska that combines to market the visitor industry. That's going to sunset soon this year, and consequently we will revert back to a 50-50 marketing approach, 50% visitor industry, 50% state. It's really a very important aspect of this bill is to move away from the 70-30, 50-50 split and just establish a rate of contribution from the visitor industry, establishes it for the upcoming year and years to come, and that would be the $2.7 million increment that's in the bill. So that's a really important. I appreciate the question.
Could you also address the increase in visitor taxes and fees since the initial legislation was established?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, if you're talking about a combination of tax sources over the years, that would be a question that I have probably better addressed from Department of Revenue, perhaps, to give us an idea. But there are a number of tax revenues the state receives from the industry, and we do have some statistics here that we could share if you're interested. Bed taxes, car rental taxes, corporate income taxes, and local sales taxes play into that.
So, Representative Munoz, maybe your staff could work with Joanna, and she could provide a written response for all the committee members to that question. That's for the next meeting. Okay, seeing no other, Deb, could you please note for the record that we have been joined by our newest member to this committee, Representative Reggie Jewell, though he is probably our elder in legislative years. So welcome, Mr. Jewell. Representative Jewell.
I'm not sure where to thank you. Thanks.
Well, you are our elder in legislative years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's true.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Mr. Harvey. Commissioner? Please go ahead, name and affiliation with the record, and begin your testimony.
Susan Bell, Commissioner for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I appreciate the opportunity to address Chairman Herron and the committee members today. We believe that House Bill 160 provides a really important, much-needed solution for funding Alaska's tourism marketing programs. Since we had a chance to visit earlier this morning, some of you are aware of my background in the visitor industry. particularly in the 80s and 90s, I was directly engaged in tourism business management and marketing, both in the interior and southeast communities. And I wanted to point out that at that time, I also served on the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, a predecessor to our current arrangement. And my point through this is that that experience really helped me understand how small businesses and communities really leverage the state's program. Very few have the financial resources to really reach a national or international marketplace on their own. So again, just to underscore the importance of what we're talking about today, our recent market research revealed that in 2008, we had our peak visitation of 1.7 million visitors in the summer. We also had another 242,000 fall-winter visitors. And what we've been talking about over the last year or two is significant drops. 125,000 fewer independent visitors came to Alaska in 2008. In 2010, we began to see the loss of more than 140,000 cruise passengers. And again, hearkening back to some of the market research and economic analysis that our department does, that translated to more than 5,000 lost jobs in Alaska. And so, again, back to the importance of why this is a priority for the department and the administration, we're looking for what we can do, where we can make a difference to restore those lost jobs and economic activity. And to do that, we really need to maintain a strong presence in the marketplace and a consistent presence. Through some of the committee hearings that have been held this session, you've had a chance to hear about with the increase in tourism marketing last year, as well as other changes made by the legislature, we're beginning to show results. Our independent visitors are picking up. We're showing. We're seeing some increases in cruise deployment. And so I think it's important to understand this is not a time to retreat from that. I also want to amplify some comments that were just made in questions asked as Mr. Harvey was speaking. This current iteration, the contract with a qualified trade organization is an arrangement that's about 11 years old. And again, back to my time on the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council and working with some of the destination marketing organizations, one of the things that I want to point out is that the state's collection from tourism-related businesses, collection of taxes and fees, has changed considerably. And while I know that you asked specifically that Department of Revenue follow up in writing, I wanted to point out that in 2003 is when we enacted the vehicle and the RV rental tax. So that collections are approximately $7 to $8 million annually. In 2006, we passed the ballot initiative that at the time we generated more than about $70 million in new taxes and fees on the industry. Now, again, last year there were changes that rolled that some of that back. But the bottom line is that since the creation of the current arrangement with a qualified trade organization, we're still collecting approximately $100 million in visitor-related taxes and fees. So I just wanted to amplify the questions and comments that were made by Representative Munoz a few moments ago. It's also important to understand that the landscape has changed considerably. Visitors, particularly after 9/11 and the economic decline in 2008, have changed their travel planning habits. Our marketing is even more important, and that we're responsive. And then other competitive destinations have increased their sophistication. So again, we've got a change internally and a change externally that, to summarize, I just wanted to highlight a couple of points. The administration is definitely supportive, as Representative Herron shared, supportive and wants to make a priority of finding a long-term funding source that stabilizes our tourism marketing. We also want to be sure that the funding level and the manner in which we do that, our department administers the contract, that ensures that we have a high-quality, stable program. We want to protect the legislature's authority to appropriate the funds and also recognize these changes that the state has seen in the last decade on collection of taxes and fees from this industry. So again, in closing, I'm happy to answer any questions, and we are supportive of this, supportive and appreciative of your work on this bill.
Yeah. Representative Thompson.
Thank you. Commissioner, one of the funding mechanisms for this fund is vehicle rental tax. I believe there's a transportation bill up right now that's kind of working its way through and being talked about that is also wanting to set up a transportation highway fund. and I think that one of the funding mechanisms for that is the vehicle rental tax. So is there, do you know what that one is, and is there going to be a conflict on how this rental tax money, I mean, everybody wants a piece of it, it looks like.
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, I'd been aware of discussions about transportation and Transportation Infrastructure Bank and other discussions. I had not been aware of vehicle rental tax and RV rental tax as a possible fund source. Presently, the vast majority of that does go to the qualified trade organization for the contract. So it is an existing use, but I will look further into educating myself on the other discussions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for the commissioner? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Patty and Ron. Okay. Patty, for your name and affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chairman Herron. My name is Patty Mackey. I am a Ketchikan resident. I'm the president and CEO of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau, and I'm also here representing the Alaska Travel Industry Association as one of its board members. On behalf of the ATIA membership, I'd like to express our sincere thanks to all of you for your interest in and your support of tourism businesses in Alaska, and most especially for House Bill 160. For the past 15 years, I've worked with tourism businesses in Ketchikan and in neighboring communities like Wrangell and Prince of Wales Island. Some are heavily dependent on a healthy cruise ship sector, while others have for years catered to independent travelers. All of them have had to weather the various factors that have impacted their businesses these past few years. Everything from homeland security issues to federal land ownership, the recession, regulatory issues, and an increasingly competitive marketplace. Pick any tourism destination in the state, and I'm sure that you'd find the same issues affect their ability to grow. Our detractors would have you believe that tourism businesses are fat and happy and that we work only 4 or 5 months out of the year. In reality, businesses work a full 12 months out of any given year, and most are trying to make a 4 or 5 month season, generate enough revenue to get them through those other 7 months when the money isn't coming in, but the bills for utilities, taxes, supplies, equipment, and repairs do without fail. And there are many who would gladly work to expand the visitor season in Alaska, where the resources available to market more meaningfully toward winter, group, and convention business. Your constituents who own or are employed by tourism businesses have been coming to Juneau for years in the hope that we could work with the state to grow the investment in an economic sector that creates jobs and generates revenues at all levels of government, local, state, and federal, that sends people who visit from all over the country and around the world home with a better understanding and appreciation for our state's attributes. Our message has always been consistent. The existing program for marketing tourism in Alaska falls short in terms of dollars provided to it in order to maximize returns. We have consistently stated that a $20 million minimum marketing program will make a substantive impact and will bring more visitors and their expendable income into Alaska. We frequently are asked, why $20 million? Well, the simple answer is that it's a number we know can effectively strengthen the tourism economy of our, the tourism sector of our economy. Why $20 million? We've already seen this year, as I've reported along with Ron before this committee, that the combined $18.7 million allocation that we received through a one-time appropriation already has shown us vast improvement in Alaska's standing as a destination that is top of mind with travelers. Why $20 million? Because at less than 5/100ths of a percent of what is a $3.4 billion industry in the state, we hope that the legislature will agree that the amount is an undeniably good return on investment for creating additional jobs and municipal revenues and increasing the return to the state in taxes. You are all to be commended for your efforts and your foresight, and I thank you once again for hearing us, responding to us, and working with us to revive and grow Alaska's tourism industry. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for hearing House Bill 160.
Thank you, Patty. Any questions for Patty? Normally, we'd probably all have a couple questions, but we have several people signed up, so I'm going to try to get through public testimony. And again, the intent is not to move it out today, but to take it up hopefully next week with possible amendments and
and dialogue by the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go out on the net somewhere. Let's go to back home to Nome, Richard, Representative Foster. Let's go to Richard Benville in Nome.
Good morning, Chairman Heron, and thank you for the opportunity to address you and the committee members. My name is Richard Benville. I'm owner-operator of a small tour company, Nome Discovery Tours, 18 years, working primarily with independent tourists that come to our part of the world and using our 350 miles of roads to show that beautiful part of Alaska off. We also have a fair number of cruise ships. I rely very much on the ATIA marketing program. The littler the boys, the more it helps. In the rural part of the state, we don't have much. We have the internet, and we have our involvement in the association, as well as this wonderful program that needs to be sustained. It's amazing when I look at the short ads on just our national TV campaign, how in very little time so much of Alaska is shown, from the far north to the southeast, and a brilliant job is done by that. But there are other aspects of that money, too, which are spent, and I have participated in and will hope to continue in both the Alaska Media Roadshow in Santa Barbara and back to my old camping grounds to New York City and the Alaska Experience. Where a small businessman like myself, you don't get any smaller than one, sits next to a large, corporate entity and has an opportunity to visit for, a number of minutes with 30 to 50 travel writers from all over the country and indeed the world. And it is a world market. Whoever said that earlier was so right. There's the impact on local native corporations as well. And I digress for 1 second and through the chair, say hello to Neil Foster, our representative, and to the North, Reggie Jewell, Representative Jewell, whom I've had the pleasure of knowing on and off for a number of years. In Nome, on the Seward Peninsula, Bering Straits Regional Corporation has the Aurora Inn, Stampede Car Rentals, cabins at Pilgrim Hot Springs, the snow cap that they run down coming up with the dogs here soon at Iditarod. And they too directly benefit from this. So the comment about, this being statewide is not only statewide in geography, but statewide in its depth. I also commend the committee and the hard work that's been done on this bill and can urge your continued support and working on it. And with my thanks for the opportunity to address you all, I'll shut my flap.
Okay, well, thank you, Richard. Is there any questions from committee members for Richard? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Now let's travel to the other end of the state and go to Terrell in Ketchikan.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead, state your name, your affiliation, and begin your testimony, sir.
My name is Terry Wanzer. I'm on the executive board of Alaska Hotel and Lodging Association. I'm the owner of the Best Western Landing and other businesses in Ketchikan. I've owned the hotel for 25 years and had a business license in Ketchikan for 39 years. Bear in mind, we're open year-round. Alaska Hotel and Lodging Association is extremely appreciative of the House EDTT Committee's introduction of legislation establishing the Sustainable Funding Plan for Alaska's tourism marketing campaign and the goal of reaching a minimum of a annual $20 million appropriation. As you're well aware, the state of Alaska benefits from revenues generated by our industry. In recent years, those revenues have been as much as $140 million. It just makes sense to reinvest a percentage of those revenues to sustain a healthy economy for Alaska's tourism industry, resulting in jobs for Alaskans and revenues for a variety of state-funded programs and services. The hotel bed tax revenues paid to Alaska's local governments have declined as much as 22% in recent years. The city of Ketchikan has declined 17.5%. The Ketchikan borough has declined 25.2%. Without these funds, local government will turn to the state for increased aid. Alaska has struggled with lost market share in the increasingly competitive global travel marketplace. The additional $7 million appropriation awarded in fiscal year 2011 through early research has already resulted in an expected 4% increase in visitors to Alaska this summer, as compared to a 2% increase in national travel trends. The Alaska Hotel and Lodging Association appreciates the legislature's recognition of the need for the increased marketing funding by increasing the FY11 budget to $18.7 million. This action has given the industry an opportunity to vastly improve their ability to build awareness and generate more visitors to the state. It is critically important to build on this moment and to ensure that Alaska's tourism marketing campaign does not take a step backwards. We applaud the committee's efforts to create a new Alaska Visitor Industry Investment Fund to replace over 2,500 lost jobs and build a sustainable economy for Alaska's tourism businesses. On behalf of Alaska Hotel and Lodging Industry, thank you for your leadership and introduction of House Bill 160. We urge the legislature's support and quick passage of this long overdue legislation. In fact, in Ketchikan, a resolution was passed by our borough assembly supporting tourism marketing on a state level. On our trip to Juneau, we gave several of the legislators. Representative Vigneault has a copy of that resolution. That's how important it is to us in Southeast. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terrell. Is there anyone who wishes to pose a question to him? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Okay. This time, let's go back to the room. And John McConaughey, are you in the room, sir?
Yes.
Please come forward, state your name, your affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Herron. My name is John McConaughey. I live in Juneau at 3172 Pioneer Avenue. I, along with my wife, Peggy Ann McConaughey, are the co-owners of Cycle Alaska. We're a small bike tour company located here in Juneau. We also have a rental and a retail aspect to the company. This last season, we employed 26 people. Compared to the previous season, 2009, we employed 32 people. We saw the market value of our company go down as a result of the loss of visitors coming to Juneau, which last year was a loss of 140,000. And, of course, we were not alone in the state. But also, the vendors that we deal with, that would be the gas station, the mechanic that works on our vehicles, city and borough sales taxes, suppliers that we deal with, all the way down to stationary suppliers you wouldn't think of. Last year, we did not spend the money we had in the past with them. That also trickles back, of course, to the city also as far as sales taxes not collected. I would ask for your support of House Bill 160 to reinvest existing tourism tax dollars into the marketing of Alaska. I was mentioned earlier about leveraging. We are a small company and don't have a lot of money for outside marketing, so ATIA's support is critical to us as far as their marketing program. It's up to us then, once the visitors are here, to then sell them our tours or our rental programs. We've owned several businesses through the years, and one of the key elements that we have worked upon is in a down economy, which we've been in business for 30 years with different businesses, is a lot of people will withdraw the marketing dollars because it's easy to do that. It's easy to cut that. We have always expended more on marketing in a down economy because we've found we've gained greater market share as a result. So I would encourage you to do that also, thinking that way. And I would just ask for your support for a long-term sustained marketing program to maintain our industry and to grow it. And I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Questions for John? Seeing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, let's go back out on the net and travel up to the peninsula of Kenai. Shannon at Soldotna, are you online?
I sure am.
Yes, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Shannon Hamrick. I'm a lifelong resident of Soldotna, and I'm the executive director of the Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council, or KPTMC. We're a destination marketing organization that works on behalf of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, composed of 13 communities and over 1,000 tourism businesses. We have a modest budget, which we invest heavily in ATIA's marketing programs because they work for us. Without ATIA conducting research and broad-scale image advertising to gather a pool of high-potential visitors, our dollars could not be very effective in the marketplace. I like to compare it to exploring for oil without the tools that we need to see underground. We could drill random holes, and we might get lucky on a few, but if we have the right equipment, we know exactly where to target, and ATIA is our tool for finding visitors. The Kenai Peninsula's economy, especially in the Central Peninsula, has taken huge hits over the past 3 years. We've lost Agrium, Chevron, and now the ConocoPhillips plant. Tourism has been identified by our EDD as our biggest potential for immediate growth. That said, tourism doesn't have incentive programs to help it like other industries in Alaska. We rely on marketing dollars to find and attract visitors, period. Even when we pull together, the communities of the Kenai do not have the money to conduct image advertising to increase interest in the state. We need ATIA to create awareness in Alaska as a destination through campaigns such as our national TV advertising. And that's why I'm here today. You have the opportunity to make a direct impact on the success of thousands of small businesses in Alaska. These people are your constituents and your neighbors. We've worked for years now towards a $20 million budget for tourism. We've come up with a plan, and the time is now to make a commitment for a diverse, thriving economy. Thank you for your dedication to Alaska and for your consideration of HB 160.
Thank you, Shannon. Seeing no questions, thank you for your testimony. At this time, there's five people left to sign up. Unfortunately, I have a commitment that I have to go to, so I've asked my colleague, Representative Munoz, to chair the balance of the meeting to take testimony, and the intent is to bring this back early next week for continued input on the legislation and committee discussion. So at this time, Debbie, I'm going to turn it over to Representative Munoz. Thank you. Good morning.
Hello. Okay, next here, I believe here in Juneau is Fred Reeder. Yes, with the ATIA. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Fred Reeder. I'm on the board of directors for Alaska Travel Industry Association, and I live in Sitka, a lifelong Sitkan. We won't go into how long that is, but yeah, lifelong. I'd like to thank the chairman and the rest of the committee for bringing forth House Bill 160 so that we may finally address the need for a sustained visitor industry marketing plan for the state of Alaska. Being a former mayor of the community of Sitka, I know how important tax revenues are to a community. I know the community of Sitka that there has been a significant drop in visitors to our community since 2008. With this drop in visitors comes also a drop of over $1 million in sales tax revenue from the visitor sector in Sitka. One of the main legislative priorities for the city and borough of Sitka this year for this coming legislative session will be to increase municipal revenue sharing. And it follows that if they're down in sales tax revenue, they're going to try and go somewhere for the money. They need to alleviate their problem with the shortfall in sales tax from this sector. It is my view that the state of Alaska, having a long-term plan to fund visitor marketing, you help communities like Sitka to increase their sales tax revenue from outside sources by increasing visitors to the community and lessen the demands those communities place on the state of Alaska for more revenue sharing dollars. With this bill, you help private industry expand and help provide for local governments through increased direct local sales taxes, also increased jobs. Sitka has seen a decline of over 100 jobs because of the decline in the visitor sector, and it doesn't look good for this coming year. Adopting House Bill 160 will help bring more visitors to Alaska and increase direct sales tax revenue to those communities that have sales tax, as well as car rental taxes, hotel taxes, et cetera. As we As we as a state look forward, improving this sector of our economy is good for all Alaskans. I thank you for my testimony, and I would take any questions if you had them.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Reeder? No. Thank you very much. Now online, Paul Landis with the Alaska Act.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Paul Landis, and I live in Anchorage. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Siri Alaska Tourism Corporation, or CATSI for short, and I also serve on the Steering Committee for Alaska Act and the Board of Directors for ATIA. We all speak in common support for HB 160. CATSI owns and operates hotel properties in Talkeetna and Seward. We also have substantial investment in marine vessels providing day tours in Kenai Fjords and Prince William Sound. We create upwards of 460 direct jobs during the tourist season. Our business and those secondary businesses who depend on our success have become increasingly reliant on independent travelers from both the United States and abroad. On our own, CATSI simply does not have the marketing horsepower to reach all of the highly targeted and clearly defined consumer groups within the ATIA cooperative marketing plan. We consider our contribution into the cooperative plan a very prudent investment. Numerous surveys indicate that Alaska's main visitor attraction is the natural beauty of the state. Interest in native culture ranks closely behind, particularly among Europeans. Culturally speaking, Alaska is not so separated from the land as in other indigenous cultures. As one of several native corporations who have invested in visitor infrastructure, we believe the continued reinvestment in marketing our state at the $20 million level will open tourism frontiers beyond the rail belt, create new jobs, and increase native shareholder value. Consistent marketing presence is the key. As with any political campaign, one must spend to keep the numbers up, especially when the competition is working towards the same end. I do not want to see Alaska fall behind, and HB 160 positions our state for success. I thank you all for the opportunity to speak this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Landis. Are there questions for Mr. Landis? Thank you. And here in Juneau, we have Chip Toma signed up with Responsible Cruising in Alaska.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have some packets if Rob wants to hand these out to the members and staff. There's plenty for you folks here. Thank you so much. For the record, my name is Chip Toma. I'm the president of Responsible Cruising in Alaska. Based here in Juneau, we are the group that got the signatures together for the 2006 initiative and also for the 1999 initiative here in Juneau, which gave a local head tax. Testifying on behalf of HB 160 today, I think it's premature and it's unnecessary. This is a dedicated earmark that's being set up to move funds into an allocation position, but I think it's as close to a dedicated fund as you can get. I'd much prefer to see a 50-50 share of state and industry, right now the seafood industry, of course, is far less than that. It's about 20 or 25%. So, in that vein, I have written, as your packet shows you, a letter to the governor urging him to return to Miami and along with the ATIA to ask the same people that they met with last year when we rolled back the taxes to support ATIA to the tune of a total of $10 million. In other words, they have to raise about $7 million in Miami. I am hopeful that the governor does find it in his schedule to make that trip. I think he and Susan Bell should return and address those cruise executives. And the reason is because we rolled back taxes, $25 million, it's going to kick in this year, and also the rates, the charges for the berths that they're charging on ships are up 35% in the last 2 years. Now, that's a combined total of $275 million this year difference between 2009. So there is a lot of money being generated in the industry, and by the way, the industry is booming worldwide. The luxury cruise industry is attacking ships in Australia, in the Mediterranean, in eastern Canada, all over the world except Alaska. And they're coming back to Alaska. I don't want to demean that at all. But I think that pulling out of ships was a move to get the taxes rolled back. That was done. And now the rates have gone up $275 million in excess benefits to the cruise companies this year in 2011. So I think that Governor Parnell has an excellent opportunity, along with the commissioner, to ask these folks for $7 million in funding. With that $10 million total, I think the state would be well advised to match that on a one-to-one basis, and then they'd have their $20 million budget. That's the way to get a sustainable yearly program. There is no reason to fight over this every year, but we do, and the way to do it is to have a 50-50 share. And right now, ASME is the model program. They're doing it at about 20 or 25%. And I think that we should strive to make sure that ATIA gets back to 50-50 again, too. Every year, the ACA, the Alaska Cruise Association, and their 30 ships spend $70 million in getting people to come to Alaska. That's $70 a head, or $140 a couple, that the Alaska Cruise Association already spends to get people on their ships. Now, what does the ATIA spend? Well, they spend $16 million in advertising, and how many people do you think they're responsible for? Well, everything that I found on their literature shows me it's about 100,000 people. So that's $160 per person, or $320 per couple, is what is being spent to get those 100,000 independent air travelers to Alaska. Now, that's a very, very important segment. And what I'm also saying is that the ATI has nothing to do with getting people on board the ships. The ships are the expert marketers. They're the ones who are packing their ships. They're the ones who are spending $70 a head to get those people on board the ships. So I think that there are opportunities here, but the real opportunity, as I have in my packet, is this list right here. And this is the list of round-trip airline flights that are coming to Alaska this year from hub cities around the United States. And that is the group. That is the group that rents cars, they rent hotel rooms, they buy meals in restaurants, and they drive the rail belt, and they fly to the bush. These are the people with money. These are the independent air travelers, and these are the people that we should be zeroing in on, and that's where ATIA's bang for the buck is. It's not in trying to get more cruise passengers. The cruise lines, 2 years in advance, are planning on how many ships are going to be in Alaska. It has nothing to do with increased demand or anything like that. It's the economy and how many ships that they have available to put up here. Right now, we're going to have 30 ships out of the 33 that we've had in the past. We're almost back to those record heights that we had in 2008. So, for all those reasons, I urge you to look at this packet. Hawaii spending, for instance, or Hawaii travel, is up 19% this year over last year. And why? Because every single person in Hawaii flies to get there. And because their Hawaiian Tourist Association puts all their effort into airline brokers that make sure that those flights are full. And that's where the bang for the buck is, and that's where we should be concentrating, not on cruise ships. And let's see if we can get to 50-50. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Tomar. Are there questions? Thank you, Chip. And then online, Bruce Bustamante with the Alaska Cruise Association.
Good morning, Representative Munoz and members of the committee. My name is Bruce Bustamante, and I'm a 19-year resident of Anchorage, and I've made my living by working in tourism my entire time in Alaska. And during that time, I worked as Director of Sales for Alaska Airlines. I was the President and CEO of the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau, and currently I'm the Vice President of Community Affairs for Princess Cruises and Half Alaska Yukon. Today I am testifying in support of House Bill 160 on behalf of my company and for the Alaska Cruise Association. As you might imagine, Princess Cruises not only brings visitors to Alaska on cruise ships, but through Half Alaska, we also own and operate lodges and hotels, along with a rail and motor coach division. So with all of those entities here in Alaska, we employ over 3,300 people in Alaska during the summer and maintain a year-round employment base in Alaska of about 450. Today I am asking for your support of House Bill 160, which is critical in creating sustainable tourism marketing funds for Alaska. Our state enjoys a great reality show presence right now, and we need to capture that energy and feed the public's curiosity about our state. And marketing is a great way to do that. Marketing can provide really a call to action and get information in those people's hands on how to get to Alaska, what to see in Alaska, who to work with in providing that optimal Alaska experience. And that's certainly the role of marketing. Is very, very timely for us to be increasing our marketing presence. Every year we're seeing more competition for visitors, and we're not the only destination that offers mountains, wildlife, and glacier. Alaska needs a strong marketing program because we don't just compete with other states, we also compete against other countries. In the past 10 years, our state, through the Alaska Travel Industry Association, has put forth some very compelling advertising campaigns, very good ads. However, our funding levels have limited our reach and thus limited our ability to compete effectively. Annually, we continue to fall behind our competitors that have larger budgets, and our competitors are using those larger budgets to create greater market awareness. Last year, Governor Parnell appropriated $16 million to tourism marketing, and we are now poised to increase our marketing presence. Your support and ultimate passing of House Bill 160 will establish a funding program that can generate $20 million per year to be invested in marketing. And this is critically important to support and build our local economy and create jobs for Alaskans. We're thankful for the foresight and commitment made by Governor Parnell last year to marketing. I encourage you as representatives of many Alaskans who work in tourism to continue that level of support for years to come. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for the work you've put into this bill. It's critically important for tourism, which is really a growing job sector here in the state. And I thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bustamante. Are there questions? Okay. We have one more person online, Dale Fox with CHAR.
Good morning. My name is Dale Fox, and I'm the president and CEO of Alaska CHAR. I'm here today to speak in favor of House Bill 160. Alaska CHAR represents restaurants, bars, and package stores across our state. These establishments employ 25,000 Alaskans. The visitor industry is very important to the... Hang on a second. I got muted there for a second. These establishments employ over 25,000 Alaskans. Visitors spend over $245 million on food and beverage, which is critical to the restaurants and bar businesses in Alaska. Visitors in the peak season allow these businesses to survive the slower months. While tourism is very important to my members, none of the Alaska-owned mom-and-pop restaurants or bars have the money for a national advertising campaign. We count on the public and private partnership between ATIA and the state to send the message out to the traveling public that Alaska is open for business and that we'd like those customers to take Alaska off their dream list and put it on their Book It Now list. ATIA invests the money wisely and gets results for the entire state, including my restaurant and bar members. I encourage your support of HB 160. This bill is a marketing solution for Alaska that is long overdue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Are there questions? No. Thank you. Okay, as the chairman said, we will keep public testimony open, and we will come back next week to take action on the bill. I appreciate everybody that showed up today to testify. Commissioner Bell, thank you for being here, and everyone else with the associations and small businesses. Really appreciate your testimony and your support for this legislation. Thank you, and we are adjourned.